Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Wesley Wildman. I'm Tim Wildman, Wesley Wildman, Chris Woodward now. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
And Dr. Ray Pritchard, raised in Kansas City. We're in Tupelo, and we thank you for listening wherever you may be. Ray, did you catch the Northern Lights? Were you able to see that?
the first night they hit us here in Kansas City, and I slept right through it.
You too, huh?
Right through it. And then you feel awful the next day because you see on Facebook and Twitter, everybody around you saw these beautiful things. No, but I had a good night's sleep for once.
So, the reason I bring that up is supposed to make another – well, what happened is – and I talked about this on Monday, I think. What happened was it was visible from our area, our neck of the woods, on Friday night, I guess it was. Chris, you know about this?
Yes.
And I was, like Ray, was unaware. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think it happened about 9 or 10.
Our entire household slept through it, missed it.
But, so I went out Saturday night, Allison, my wife and I, we it was 11. Mm-hmm. We waited until 11 and drove to a place that, a hill, that is over the looks over the tree line, mm-hmm. the top of the trees, so we can get a clear view. And
yeah,
we got a clear view at Jack Squat.
You too.
Yes, it was a fabulous display of Jack Squat there. And
so my mother-in-law and my brother-in-law, they had the perfect vision or line of sight.
From here in the Tupelo area.
From here in the Tupelo area, and they sent us dozens of pictures. Yeah. And it was one after the other.
That's
and
pretty spectacular
it
from
is.
Here because, I mean, people in the northern part of the U.S. are used to that.
Right.
But what I'm saying is there was a mention here on Fox News about it going to be happening again. It's potential geomagnetic storm Tuesday could bring another dazzling Northern Lights show to northern U.S. Okay, well.
Let's check out a van and go. We'll do a live show. Today's issues tonight.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not driving.
We'll pick you up, Ray.
That's right. Come on through. We'll go to North Dakota. It's a lot of wide open space up
there. Yeah.
Right? I wouldn't mind going to North Dakota this time of year.
Yeah.
In December, not so much.
Anyway, so you know what, Ray? Would you describe the science behind this?
What was your other question? I know that it's an eruption of the sun. There's the sun, there's a solar storm, and the sun erupts, and the gaseous, these high pressure, high degree gases, they go flying off. I know that much. I know it starts with solar explosions. But Wesley, you got the rest of it, right?
Wesley, would you give us a breakdown of the rest
please,
of the science for us?
Pick up Ray's the rest.
You went to an A&M school, man. Come
that's
on.
That's right. I can't tell if you were serious or kidding there. What I can tell you is it looks really pretty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good definition.
Purple and pink.
Looks
and
really purdy.
Purdy.
Looks really purdy.
Right.
All right.
No, I didn't get to see it. I missed it, but I've got the pictures.
But anyway, I was hoping to get to see it, but maybe not. But maybe Tuesday night. But it says northern U.S., so I'm thinking that's.
It
probably,
happened again the day after, is what I was told.
No, it didn't.
Yeah,
I went out and looked.
We
missed it at
Saturday.
That's what you were saying.
Oh, yeah, Saturday.
Saturday, my 10-year-old kept going, "Go out there and look, Dad. Go out there and look." And I'd walk outside and look, and then I'd have to do the walk of shame back into the house.
No,
sorry.
No. Yeah.
This says the Northern Lights on Tuesday. Talking about tomorrow. No, today.
It'd be today.
Today.
It's got to be today.
The Northern Lights on Tuesday may become visible over some northern and upper Midwest states from New York to Idaho. So, I don't know. You might be borderline right there. You're the middle of the country.
Yeah, and we've got right this morning thick cloud cover, so yeah, couldn't see anything anyway.
But. Yeah. All right, Chris, what's your first story there?
Well, one of the things I help the team cover is the legal beat, and we have various cases I want to bring people's attention to on our website, AFN.net. This one involves our friends and acquaintances over at First Liberty Institute. A Nashville-area hotel has canceled an upcoming Israel summit after some pro-Hamas agitators contacted the hotel and said, hey, we heard there's going to be a pro-Israel summit going on there. We don't like it. You shouldn't have it. And Sonesta Nashville Airport Hotel is the name of the venue, and they have canceled the contract with an organization called the Hayovel, which is a Christian ministry that sends volunteers to Israel to work alongside farmers and do a lot of agricultural work. So it's not a summit necessarily where they're praising.
It's not
Benjamin
politics.
Netanyahu.
It's not politics.
Right. It's not talking about the Knesset.
Right.
You know?
Right. We're talking about. But the point is that this group was going to have a meeting, a mm-hmm. convention at a hotel. Happens all over America every day in the Nashville area. And the hotel was then this. Who got a wind of this? And
attorney Hiram Sasser at First Liberty described them as pro-Hamas agitators.
Okay, so then they started calling the hotel. Mm-hmm. I don't know, were they from Nashville, or do we even know?
From kind of the nation. Okay. It was a national.
Calling the hotel, intimidating the hotel, saying don't host these folks, mm-hmm. right? That's what happened?
Correct, yes.
So what did they, what happened?
Well, we're kind of waiting and seeing what happens here, because First Liberty Institute sent a letter to Sonesta Nashville Airport Hotel saying, hey, this is wrong what you're doing. All you need to do is, like a lot of hotels do in these situations, and that is just increase security, make sure people are taken care of, people have the right to speak, in this case about Israel. Don't stick to your cancellation policy. Well, so we're waiting and seeing what happens.
Yeah. Once you sign a contract to hold an event, you got to follow through with that. I think this organization, should they want to, sue the hotel.
Right. And we do. That appears to be what direction First Liberty is going in, should Sonesta Nashville Airport Hotel decide not to stick to its agreement here. I did ask attorney Hiram Sasser, hey, does the hotel venue have the right in its contract to cancel the event for whatever reason? And here's what Hiram Sasser told me. He said, if you're doing what the discriminators are asking you to do, then that is a violation of federal and state law, and it really doesn't matter what the contract says. So First Liberty is ready to go should the hotel decide not to have this event like it agreed to weeks or months ago. Meanwhile, I do have some audio from Hiram Sasser here, again, an attorney with First Liberty. And he told me that what started several weeks or months ago on campuses is starting to spill over into other areas of society, not just this hotel. And it's going to continue unless and until someone starts standing up and doing something about it. Clip 12.
Do you see what's going on the college campuses? That's because nobody is fighting back. Now they're spreading it to hotels. It's going to come to a town near you. When do you care to begin to fight back under our laws to stop this kind of harassment and intimidation of the Jewish people and people who support the Jewish people? Do you want to fight on Columbia's campus? Do you want to wait till it spills over to Nashville, or are you waiting until it comes to your neighborhood?
Well, the one thing I would say, there has been a lot of fighting back against mm-hmm. this, and we saw it on college campuses. Well, I'm not saying
push back.
I'm not disagreeing with Hiram that will come, mm-hmm. If you don't fight back against it, it will come to your community, so to speak. But I know that a lot of college campuses, the students and the administrators were not tolerating any more than a peaceful protest. Mm-hmm. Peaceful protest, you know, are protected by the First Amendment. You know, you may not like the speech, but it is protected by the First Amendment as, sure. as it should be. You know, that's our history. Mm-hmm. That's our Constitution. But intimidation, blocking highways, disrupting commencement services for graduates, all this kind of stuff, calling hotels, telling them to unbook the Israel group, that kind of thing is, I think, is illegal. And is also not in the spirit of the Constitution mm-hmm. or the First Amendment. All right, next story.
Well, here is a good story. A good story.
You got a good story, Chris?
Well, it's a good news story.
Okay, that's what we need.
Because it impacts all of us, especially those of us that have kids that go to a religious school. In recent days, the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that religious schools have the freedom to hire and retain faithful teachers. In other words, teachers slash educators, faculty members, staff, have to live according to the faith principles of the institution, the educational institution. So all of this involves a Catholic school in the Charlotte area there in North Carolina. Let's go back several months. The school had a male employee who decided to, on his own, enter into what he calls a wedding ceremony with another man. The Catholic Church got wind of this because the teacher in question talked about it on Facebook. The Catholic Church fired the individual, saying, hey, you can't do that because we don't believe in that as Catholics. And they went to court. The teacher took the school to court. And in recent days, the Fourth Circuit ruled that the Catholic Church school does have the right to do this. And according to the attorney, which I don't have a soundbite of, he told me that this is going to impact everybody. So if you are a Protestant, if you are a non-denominational, if you are a principal or a parent of someone at a Christian school, you should rest easy tonight knowing that that school does have the ability to hire and fire people according to the faith principles of that school.
So this is a victory at the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is a federal court.
Yes.
Just under the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. And this fella tried to force the Catholic Church to accept him even though he was in a openly homosexual relationship.
Yes.
And the church said, we can't do that. Was he working for them?
He was, yes. And that was the reason he took them to court, because they said, hey, you can't work here if you're going to be married to a man, sir.
Well, they would have told him that if he were shacked up with a woman.
Yeah, right. That's true.
Right? Churches have to have standards of behavior for their employees.
Well, this goes back to the whole issue we were talking with Frank about in the earlier segment, that churches, it's not enough to say we believe in Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. It's not enough to say, oh, come to our church, Faith Baptist, we believe the Bible. No, no, no. You've got to be totally clear on what do you mean when you say you believe the Bible? What do you believe about marriage? What do you believe about a man who calls himself a woman? What do you believe about a man who, quote, marries another man? That's we're going to see this kind of stuff happening more and more and more. I think this is a hugely important victory. But it's just one victory in a long battle.
Mm. Yeah. All right, next story.
Well, one other story involves the ACLJ, the American Center for Law and Justice. They caught wind of a school in Georgia, which ACLJ
has... Did they catch wind of it?
They caught wind of it, yeah. Okay. However the saying goes.
They caught wind.
They found out about a school in Georgia that told some 9-year-old students, hey, you can't hand out Easter eggs with Bible verses and candy inside the eggs, little plastic eggs.
Yeah.
ACLJ found out about this, got involved with the school, and was about to file a lawsuit against the school for violating these students' First Amendment rights when the school in Georgia decided, hey, what we did was wrong. We're sorry. It's not going to happen again. I spoke to an attorney.
Where was
there
this?
In Georgia.
Oh, do you know where in Georgia?
They wouldn't tell me where, and I looked through their press releases, and they would not name the school. And the attorney said, because the school agreed what it did was wrong and they're not going to do it again, they're not going to, quote, name and shame the school system.
What is it? Well, then, okay, what did this – was this a public or private school?
Public school.
And what did they do again?
They told some 9-year-old students whenever Easter was, that you couldn't hand out Easter eggs to your classmates and other kids at school with pieces of candy and Bible verses inside the eggs.
Why?
Because the school was concerned that was a violation of like church and state. You can't do religious-y stuff
in Christian school.
School
did.
Which is not true.
It
was a public
school. Well, a public school.
It doesn't matter. So they repented.
Yeah. And ACLJ like that, right? Won
Ray,
the victory.
I like it. They repented.
They repented.
Yeah. It's always good when the public school repents.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I've got a quote here from ACLJ attorney Ben Sisney. He told me, quote, it's a shame that you even have to take or threaten legal action to get these kinds of obvious right answers.
Yeah.
But we have to do that as evidenced by this case. In this case, we were fortunately able to work it out before we had to actually file the lawsuit. Here's the other thing he mentioned. He wanted people to understand that this was in Georgia. It was not a liberal school in a liberal city in a blue state. It's in Georgia. And he said, quote, if it can happen in Georgia, it can happen anywhere.
Well, here's the thing is so many of these school administrators are
pansies. Oh, sorry.
Well, that is true, but they quit before they fight at all. And there are organizations out there. You contact us if you want to, and we'll give them free legal work helping defend schools.
I do want to say, though, I say that half joking because I do understand that there is a sense if you get blindsided or you get caught off guard, you're going into school as an administrator doing your daily task every day, and all of a sudden you get hit by one of these liberal.
They get a letter from one of these ACLU types.
Yeah, I understand that there is some intimidation there. There is something, you know, that does take place, and that's a reality. However, as you pointed out, a better way of saying is that they quit before they get started. So in a lot of these cases, they don't even inject their own constitutional rights before they just give in willy nilly. And so we would encourage you not to do that.
Yeah, well, people think separation of church and state is true. And it is true to a point. It's true that the state should not infringe on the church. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that people have to give up their First Amendment religious freedoms just because they're a citizen.
That's right. Right. Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, and in the same way with teachers. The teachers can leave crosses on their desk if they want to have a cross on their desk.
Yeah.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. By the way, Ray, where are you going to speak next?
Well, next month I will be heading out to Oregon to Cannon Beach Conference Center on the Pacific Coast doing a week of Bible teaching out there. It's the first week of Bible teaching that I've been able to do on the road in quite some time. So really looking forward to that.
But don't you annually go there?
Yes, almost every year I'm there. But this year, you know, Tim, having gone through all this stuff, it's something special to go through the treatment and then finally say, okay, Lord, here we go. Let's go out and teach the Bible. Had to cancel a whole lot of stuff in the first half of the year and glad to be getting back in the saddle.
Yeah, what are you going to be – what you're going to be teaching on there?
Well, right now, it looks like I'm going to do a series of messages called Ordinary Miracles from the Book of Ruth in the Old Testament. Little tiny four-chapter book, but it is so rich in spiritual teaching and encouragement for the believer.
And Wesley, it's talking about what's coming up. We've got our Men of Honor program for those in the Northeast Mississippi area, maybe we live close to Alabama, who maybe want to participate. And I know this program, you're making the curriculum available to people across the country, but what is this?
Yeah, a couple things I'd like to mention as housekeeping as we get toward the end of today's issues here. We've got Men of Honor, which is our summer program or our summer ministry, which is for young men. Most of which come from a broken home, but not all. And we offer this as a discipleship training course throughout the summer. We get together every Tuesday. You can find out, I'm about to give you some more information, but you can go to afa.net/events. That's afa.net/events. And all the details and all the information I'm about to give you is already there. So you don't have to worry about writing it down. But it's every Tuesday from 5:30 to 7:30. We get together during the summer. We eat, which is always a good thing, right? Eating pizza and other types of
Chick-fil-A. People will come for free food. Yep, they'll do a lot for free food.
Free food. There's always good ministry and fellowship over free food as well. Then we play games. We have a couple of sporting games. We have basketball, cornhole, and cornhole is not a food.
Yeah.
Corner, you want to tell people what
cornhole is? Well, I was
is?
Dominating. I played a 7- and 8-year-old last year in basketball, and I just
dunked on
beat them all
like
over
the Charles Barkley commercial. I told you.
Was a 6-year-old boy. I just
that very serious. You took that way too serious.
I probably was too harsh on it.
Yes, you were. I
was thinking like in your face.
Did you do the whole Dikembe Mutombo thing where you like shook your finger in his face?
Which gave us
at my house.
Yeah. However, that gave us the opportunity to address in our Bible time how to have good
character. How to win humbly.
How to win humbly.
Yeah.
So we go from our eating and activities, and then we go inside and we have a 20-minute Bible lesson from a local pastor, youth pastor, our local layperson is a really good Bible teacher will come in. They'll teach. We take a few minutes to have table discussions about what we learned from the mm-hmm. scriptures. And then we conclude our evening by learning a life skill that will help them as they grow to become young men, such as how to fill out a job resume, how to do yard maintenance, car maintenance. We even last year added a course where we discussed gun safety and what you need to know about firearms, the Second Amendment. That was
safety. Do you do something like don't do this?
Yes, it's a lot of don't do this. And
yeah, but you don't then show them what not to do exactly.
I'm
just kidding. Listen, men of honor, where can people go to find out more about this?
That's afa.net/events, afa.net/events. We're inviting everyone that's listening now, we're inviting you. If you live within 30, 45 minutes, this is worth your drive. Last year, we had someone drive an hour every Tuesday to be a part of this. It's worth every bit of it. For young men ages 7 to 17, myself and several men on staff at AFA want to invest our summers, our Tuesday summers, to disciple young men in the area. You can go to afa.net/events. Now, if you live outside of this,
I want to know if I live in anywhere else in the country, it can't be a part of this, but I want to download the curriculum that teaches me. You did this, you developed this, how you can do this kind of program called Men of Honor. We call it Men of Honor. Basically, it's training young boys in godliness and Christian living and how to be a man. I mean, that's the point of it is, because as you say, so many young boys now live in homes that they don't have a role model, a male role. Their dad's not there, is divorced, whatever the case.
Living with their grandparents.
Yeah, whatever the case may be. So you're trying to impact in a summer situation once a week for a few weeks. Mm-hmm. Do what you can to impact those young men with biblical teaching and so forth. So if people want to download the curriculum so they can do it in their community, what do they need to do?
They need to go to resources.afa.net. Both of the links that we've mentioned, Chris is going to put up mm-hmm. on our social media platforms. He's doing it now. The curriculum is 16 pages. It's as detailed or as simple as you want it to be, because I've left room for people to modify it. For example, some people won't have an opportunity to do it this summer in their community, but they may want to do it over the Christmas break. Well, the Christmas break is usually about 4 weeks. Well, just take the first 4 weeks of the curriculum and do it over a Christmas break. So you can take, it's an 8-week program that includes a graduation ceremony at the end where you recognize the young boys that have gone through the curriculum. It's a lot of fun. You can do it in your community by downloading it. Like I said, it's as detailed or as simple as you can use as much of the information or as little of it to modify in your area. What we're doing is proving to you and showing to you that just a couple weeks of summer, obviously there's Trail Life USA and there's other ministries that's more long term. This is a summer program or an 8-week course that you can do at any point throughout the year. It's obviously built around the summer break. And we're encouraging you, all the men right now that are listening to today's issues, we're encouraging you to find at least one or two young men and disciple them this summer. And if possible, take up this Men of Honor curriculum and do it in your area. And if you're, like I said, you're within 30 minutes of Tupelo, we've got you something to do this summer.
All right. Thank you, Wesley and Chris. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Ray, thanks.
You bet. Thank you, Tim.
We hope you have a... let me thank Frank Harbor and Fred Jackson and Brent Creeley, our producer. And we hope you have a wonderful Tuesday afternoon and evening. And we'll see you back here tomorrow for another edition of Today's Issues.